How about the difference between theft of sperm of a dog and bestiality?
What? All right, let's have this conversation.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another Saturday Night. I'm Josh Hadley. With me, as almost always, is the true Katniss, Kat.
Hello. Katniss is something a lot of people call me at work, so I like that.
Charlie will not be joining us this week. He had some personal stuff, so he's off for the week. In a weird way, I want to wait until after Dumbest Thing to do the Adam and Eve promo because it just seems appropriate. So for this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Kat, did you see the Drexel University law professor, Lisa McGilroy, accidentally emailed a Pornhub link called She Loves Her Anal Beads to all of her students?
Oh my god, really?
Yes. This was supposed to be an email sent out about their current assignment, and she accidentally sent them probably from the last thing she cut and pasted, and it, you know, when she tried to cut and paste her message, it didn't take. I thought this article on brief writing would be interesting for all of you. www.pornhub.com/view and blah blah blah, and it's called She Loves Her Anal Beads. And yes, I clicked on the link to make sure it is a chick who really, really loves her anal beads. It's an 18-year-old, according to the description, sticking some pretty large anal beads up her butt and then masturbating, and each time she comes, she poops out an anal bead. She sent that to all her students at Drexel University Law School.
Wow. That's really special. I hope they all learned a valuable lesson.
Well, they did learn that Nett McIlroy is now suspended and under an ethics investigation.
Wow.
Quote, in a statement, the university said that according to federal law and the university's policies and procedures, Drexel is required to initiate fact-finding for all reports of inappropriate behaviors of sexual nature that may impact members of our community. As part of these policies and procedures, an employee may be put on administrative leave, which is not punitive, during the investigation. Yep. She done fucked up hard, and apparently now her students know she likes anal beads.
Well, I mean, maybe they could all learn a valuable lesson about openness and honesty about sexuality because of this. Or maybe she just really likes anal beads.
And if you really like anal beads, do you see why I did this? If you really like anal beads, you go to adamandeve.com. You use the promo code WHAT, and on top of your order, you would get 10 free gifts. You'd get 6 free DVDs, a free gift for him, a free gift for her, a free mystery gift, and free U.S. shipping. You could get the anal beads that McIlroy loves so much. So yeah, for once, it just felt natural to do Dumbest Thing first. I'm kind of sad that we don't have Charlie for this next one, because I think being a stoner, he could give us insight that you and I just don't have. Taco Bell is getting into the delivery game, Kat. Was this necessary?
No, because Taco Bell is not a necessity. I don't honestly think this will work, but if it did, it would probably make them a lot of money.
The week that this was announced, Burger King said that they're thinking about delivering. Really? Burger King? Taco Bell? What next? McDonald's? Carl's Jr.?
The problem with all of these franchises delivering is that their food is, like, there's no way for it to hold up over a long distance. Like if you get Taco Bell and you take it home, like, and you get the tacos, like the crunchy tacos, your crunchy tacos are a soggy mess by the time you get them home. So you're going to get nothing but customer complaints about, oh, well, my tacos were soggy and the food was cold and blah, 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 because this food is meant to be consumed immediately. This is why it's fast food. It's ready to go, and you just shove it down your gullet, and you're done. You know, like, the time it takes to get it to your home or your business or wherever you're getting it delivered, it's not going to be good anymore.
Quoting from CEO Brian Nickel, even though it's the number one request from customers, we have to make sure we can give them an experience that's consistent with Taco Bell, and that's what we're working through. We have to figure it out, and I can tell you right away that as of this moment, we don't have it figured out, but we're working on it. So first of all, an experience consistent with Taco Bell. What, the taco shits is what you gotta give them?
I think you really get the shits from the burritos, but nevertheless.
I've always heard the term taco shits, not burrito shits.
I'm just saying, the things that come together to give you the shits are probably the burrito. The beans and the onions all mixed together. Anyway.
Do you think this will change stoner culture?
I think if it actually rolled out nationwide, maybe. I don't know enough about stoner culture to know if it would actually make any kind of real impact.
How about the difference between theft of sperm of a dog and bestiality?
What? All right, let's have this conversation, if we must.
We are going to. Paulo N. Silva, he went to his neighbor's house, and his neighbor had a big pit bull. He kept asking if his neighbor wanted to breed his pit bull with Silva's pit bull. The neighbor said no. So the neighbor came home one day and found Silva in the neighbor's garage, jacking the pit bull off into a container. He's being charged with bestiality, and his lawyer's arguing it's not bestiality, he should only be charged with theft of sperm. Is this a technicality we want to get into, Kat?
I can't believe this is a conversation that we're having. this
I didn't make it up.
So weird. Wow. I don't even have anything I could possibly say to this. I'm so repulsed right now.
I mean, really, that's what it comes down to. Is it bestiality because he was jacking off a dog, or theft of sperm because it was specifically to get the sperm to impregnate his dog?
Isn't it both, though? As nauseating as it is to think about, isn't it kind of both?
It kind of is. And I love the way the article puts it in the Metro Daily News. When the dog owner arrived home, he found Silva of 47 Pratt Street in the garage, quote, manipulating his dog's penis.
Whoa, manipulate that penis into doing whatever you want.
Silva admitted that he wanted the pit bull to breed with his dog, but said he was, quote, just playing with the dog and not touching it inappropriately.
Well, I'm sure the dog felt the same way.
Okay, of all the technicalities to argue, that's an interesting one.
That's definitely one for the record of, first off, how delicately can you put the word jacking off into a sentence, followed by how skeeved out can you make people when they think about dogs?
Exactly. That poor dog was violated. Okay, you remember when we talked a little while ago about the DEA hooker sex party that they had in Colombia?
Oh, yeah.
And you were pointing out that it might not be illegal in Colombia because we just don't know Colombian law. Well, the Justice Department apparently wants to make sure this doesn't happen again. They sent out a memo to all Justice Department employees, that's the DEA, that is the FBI, et cetera, reminding them that prostitution is illegal and that they are not in their on their own time or on company time to be soliciting prostitutes. My question to you is this a memo that needed to be sent?
Evidently, yes. If it's a problem, then yeah, I guess they needed to address it.
I've read the memo, by the way, too.
Is it good?
The Justice Department is measured by the conduct of those who work on its behalf. The solicitation of prostitution threatens the core mission of the department, not simply because it invites extortion, blackmail, and leaks of sensitive or classified information, but also because it undermines the department's efforts to eradicate the scourge of human trafficking. Regardless of whether prostitution is legal or tolerated in a particular jurisdiction, soliciting prostitutes creates a greater demand for human trafficking victims and a consequent increase in the number of minor and adult persons trafficked in commercial sex slavery. This goes on and on and on, but for reasons I want to reiterate to all department personnel, including attorneys and law enforcement officers, they are prohibited from soliciting, procuring, or accepting commercial sex.
Yes, this shouldn't have been necessary. That it was is pretty sad. It is funny in a sad sort of way. Like, it's funny because you people don't understand the law.
I also think it's funny that you have to remind the Justice Department to not pick up prostitutes.
Be like, by the way, everybody in the Justice Department, if you could just obey the fucking law, that would be great.
Would you know an 8-track tape if you saw it? Like, just sitting on the street, you'd be able to look at it and go, that's an 8-track tape.
Probably not.
Really? You're that young?
Yeah, I don't know that I would know an 8-track if I saw one.
Oh, so maybe you're one of the kind of people responsible for the bomb squad being called out to the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department on Friday because someone found a, quote, suspicious package, and they didn't know if it might have been explosive. After the bomb squad spent 4 hours tracking this thing down, going over it with x-rays and using the bomb robot, they found out it was an 8-track tape somebody left sitting on the floor. We still had to x-ray it and make sure it was safe, but it was just an 8-track tape.
Now I have to Google an 8-track tape.
Oh my god. You are part of the problem!
Track
it was an
tape.
Earth, Wind, and Fire 8-track tape.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known an 8-track tape when I saw one, but on the other hand, it kind of looks like a game cartridge, too.
Would you have called out the bomb squad if you saw this sitting there? I mean, we're all making fun of it because it was an 8-track tape. What if it had been a bomb inside an 8-track tape? Should we be making fun of the fact that whoever reported it didn't know it was... Literally, they called in a suspicious device, not, hey, that 8-track tape seems out of place.
It is... I think the person had their heart in the right place. They were like, look, there's something there, and I don't know what it is, and it's in a kind of a suspicious area. I just want to be safe. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just kind of funny because if they had known better, they probably wouldn't have called it in. And then if somebody had used an 8-track tape for a bomb, well, that would just be really obscure. There's so many better things you can build bombs to look like that would be less suspicious.
I know you don't plan to die at a specific age, but do you plan to live to be 123?
No.
A Russian multimillionaire named Dmitry Kaminsky is offering $1 million to anyone who can live to the age of 123. And he's putting this in writing, so even if he's not alive when this happens, you get the million if you're 100, if you live to 123. Now I'm thinking, if you get to be 123, is it worth the $1 million at that point? Because I'm pretty sure your life's gonna suck. Because right now, medical science says that the human body in no possible way can sustain itself for more than 120 years. That's the highest possible age science says a human body can get to. So for some reason, Kaminsky wants to prove you can get past that, so he's offering $1 million. Is this one of those offers that he knows he's never going to have to pay out on and is just getting publicity?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it sounds like to me. Every year... there's a local jewelry store in my area that offers all of your purchases for Christmas free if we get like a 6 inches of snow or something on Christmas. And everyone knows it's not going to happen. Even if there is a scientific possibility that it might actually happen, everyone knows it's not going to. It's just a stunt that somebody does to make themselves look generous or something like that.
Quoting Kaminsky. We live in the most exciting era of human development when technologies become exponential and transformative. They may not realize it, but some of the super centurions alive today may see the dawn of the next century if they live long enough to see these transformative technologies to develop. I hope that my prize will help some of them desire longer lifespans and make their approaches to living a longer, a little more competitive life. Unquote.
So what he's saying is that the technology will just allow it to happen somehow, and that we should strive forward.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm hearing is, let's build bionic people who will live forever.
Yeah, he didn't say you have to be in, like, your whole natural body. I'm thinking like a RoboCop 2 kind of situation, where it's just your Kane's brain inside the body or something. But that would technically still be you living to 123, right?
I think so. I'm all for this. I mean, it would cost, like, probably millions upon millions of dollars to build yourself a partially bionic body. But it would be worth it for the prize, wouldn't it?
Well, if it costs you, say, $3 million to build a suit and you only win $1 million, no.
It's the prize. It's the title of winner.
How about for the last story of this segment, we talk about the true winner here. A woman that called the Suffolk County Times, the Suffolk Times editor Mike White, who's not the same Mike White that I'm friends with from Cashiers to Cinemark and Projection Booth, because she insisted, and they taped their phone calls, so all of this is on tape. She was calling them, telling them that they were idiots and fucking babies and not college graduates because they spelled their, T-H-E-I-R, in their headline when the word is actually T-H-I-E-R.
God, no one's allowed to make a mistake?
T-H-I-E-R is not the right spelling.
Yeah, I'm just saying there, and there are kind of a really common mistake.
So she insisted that they who had spelled the word correctly were spelling it wrong and calling them fucking babies and insisting that they did not graduate from college because they could not actually be college graduates if they're this stupid.
When clearly she is the stupid one.
Yes. And I could play some of the audio from this because it's hilarious, but it's 4.5 minutes long. What are we coming to? Has the internet kind of... How do you insist that there is spelled I-E-R when it clearly isn't? Not only a simple Google search would prove this, but common sense vocabulary proves this.
I think we live, and we all know this now, we live in an outrage culture now, just over the last couple of years, where you get angry over the stupidest shit and feel justified in taking your anger out on people because it makes you feel smart or it makes you feel better about yourself, which is absolutely ridiculous because people do make mistakes and not everybody goes and like tries to rake someone over the coals for it. But if you are going to do it, if you are going to get outraged and rake somebody over the coals for their mistakes, you better be damn sure that they are the ones making mistakes and not you, because you look pretty fucking stupid.
And obviously, probably for legal reasons, they did not release the woman's name who called. I think this woman's a fucking idiot, and she needs to realize they're right at the Suffolk Times. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the story we can't not talk about.
Girl, don't come. If it's something said and done, don't turn around. Let 'em kick back off the ground. Let 'em kick back off the ground. Girl, don't come. You've got nothing left to lose, but that's alright. That could well change overnight, yo.
Welcome to Heart Attack, folks. I am Hart D. Fisher, and man, we have got a lot to talk about. On the main hour-long Heart Attack, I've got a fantastic interview with a blind and nearly deaf judo player who's on the Olympic circuit. He's going to be on this week, and also I want to give a shout-out and a thank you to all the fine people down in San Diego who had us in town. I was a guest speaker with John Borowski for Serial Killer Culture. It went very, very well. And I wanted to thank the people at the Sheraton down there. We were staying with the Sheraton. All the staff at the Sheraton, especially after my experience in Chicago, they're really fantastic. So I just want to say, hey, guys, you know, it's not always about complaining and bitching and moaning. Sometimes you want to talk about good behavior. And these folks treated me very well. First, folks, I think you should all go to vice.com and read this article about how leading anti-marijuana academics are being paid by painkiller drug companies. That's right, guys. The same pharmaceutical companies that have been poisoning us and killing us are actually paying doctors and academics at schools to come out against marijuana. And I will give you full disclosure. My father died from his prescribed medication. So yeah, I do have a fucking axe to grind with the American Medical Associations. So read this article on Vice Magazine by Li Fang. There's a great article, Josh, in Texas. We have been talking on the air that these religious freedom laws are going to be twisted around and used in ways that the people who wrote them would not see coming. And now Joan Cheever, religious woman who is a chef, has been feeding the homeless from a Meals on Wheels truck for almost a decade, has been repeatedly harassed by the police in San Antonio for feeding the homeless. Well, guess what? Now that they fined her $2,000 for feeding homeless people, oh, what a horrible crime. And isn't that what all Christians are supposed to do, Josh? Aren't all Christians supposed to look out for their neighbor and supposed to help people that have less than them? Isn't that what I thought it was to be a Christian?
Not if you're a modern day Christian, not if you're a Republican Christian.
Mm-hmm. So this woman says, hey, this is part of how I practice my religion. This is how I pray. One of the cops said to her, ma'am, if you want to pray, go to church. Wow, really? And she says, well, this is how I pray. When I cook this food and deliver it to the people who are less fortunate than I, this is how I pray. This is how I express my religion. So kudos to Joan Cheever for doing this, for twisting this law around to something good.
Except now they're going to say that that's not true religious freedom. Religious freedom is only based on hating fags and hating niggers.
For real,
because
man,
there's already been a restaurant that's tried to say that I don't want to serve black people. It's against my religion.
Oh, you fucking, those fucking dicks. And speaking of other, like, harassment, remember the free-range children we talked about on Heart Attack, like, I don't know, 3 months ago, where there were two children, a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, investigated because they walked home from the park alone.
Okay, I don't like that term, free-range children, Hart. I don't.
Regular children?
Yeah, Hart, when you were a kid, when I was a kid, we would walk to the park on our own. We would walk to our friend's house. Hell, I would go to the store and buy my dad alcohol where he had an account. I would buy my dad liquor.
My father wasn't a drinker, so I can't go that far. But I will say that growing up on the south side of Chicago, my parents told me, hey, go play. I had to walk a mile to school. I had to walk over a mile to grade school. I was walking to school at these ages over a mile the wintertime through the friggin' blizzards. I was able to go to the park. I was able to go sledding with my friends. We would walk half a mile, almost a mile to the park to go sledding, to go swimming, to do all these things. Well, guess what, guys? The police in Silver Springs, Maryland, grabbed these two children, were by themselves playing in the park. They're just playing in their local park by their house. And now the cops pick them up and they hold them for, get this, Josh, 5.5 hours. The kids are sitting there for 5.5 hours. They're in the back of a squad car for 3. Then they spend 2.5 hours at the station, and none of them were fed. And now these kids are terrorized with these police, and they don't understand why they're being harassed by the police.
It's being called child abuse by the Child and Protective Services because their parents weren't watching them. Their parents are being called negligent parents. Their parents, I think rightfully, just the week we're recording this, have decided to sue Child Protective Services over this. Child Protective Services tried to take their kids because they let their kids walk to the park.
Dude, in September of 2014, in Austin, Carrie Ann Roy, a children's book author, found that she was repeatedly under investigation because she let her 6-year-old play alone in their yard.
That's called being a kid.
And the child services investigator said, just don't let them play outside. Well, guess what? I have neighbors, and I've given them a lot of crap over the years, and I've made a lot of jokes about them being homeschooled. But guess what? They play outside. The kids are actually pretty well-adjusted, talented kids. They're healthy kids. They're intelligent kids. You know what I mean?
Hart, you know what's going to fuck up a kid? Helicopter parenting. That's what fucks up kids. Do you know that the highest rate of suicide among teenagers are when parents are involved in every single aspect of a child's life? Because parents put so much pressure on the kid. The kid can't express themselves. They can't fucking relax. Helicopter parenting is the worst thing that these fucking assholes have made the norm.
Dude, we had our bicycles. We'd ride our bikes around the neighborhood, me and my friends. We'd play. We'd ride down to the school. We had skateboards. We'd go skateboarding. I can't even imagine the police harassing us like that at that age. It would really have blown my mind if I was riding my skateboard around and all of a sudden a police officer picks me up because I'm playing.
When my son was little, my son's older now, but when my son was little, we had a park 3-4 blocks from our house. He used to walk down there with his friends and just hang out. We would just say something like, you know what? Don't get killed.
And here's the thing. Aren't they trying to tell us that we got to get our kids outside? We got to get them playing again. We got to get them on their bicycles. Well, guess what, folks? Parents work. they have these things called jobs. And, you know, I believe you do need to have somebody watch out for your child. I don't think you should leave a six-year-old child alone in a house while you're at work. That's wrong. For them, your child who's 10 and 6 to come home from the park by themselves, give me a fucking break. And we're not talking like they're in Chicago. These guys weren't in the hood. They're in suburban neighborhoods. They weren't even suburban. They're like rural. You know what I mean? It's not like there's the Crips are down the road from them with their guns out selling marijuana and selling hard drugs. It's not like that at all. I really would ask the people in that city, I would really want to know from the police officers and the politicians in Silver Springs, Maryland, why are you harassing these children? Because it's really the children that pay for this. It's really the children that are terrorized by this. Why are you guys doing this? What's this up about? What is this really about?
It's to reinforce this whole helicopter parenting that you have to be involved in every aspect of your fucking little precious snowflake eggshell mind's life. They can't possibly think for themselves, that they can't possibly do anything for themselves. You know what? That is just going to fuck your kid up.
Yeah, and I got to tell you something, Josh. When I was down, I was a guest lecturer at San Diego State University with John and some really great people down there about serial killer culture, and we screened the film. And we talked about the film. Afterwards, we had a Q&A. And as I was talking with these college students, Josh, they didn't know what fracking was. They didn't know what fracking was. As they're facing water, quote, water shortages and water cutoffs for the regular people that only use 12% of the water in the state, and finding out that as I was telling them about how the corporations are just burning millions of gallons of water for fracking and also for Nestle. And they weren't aware about the whole issue with the pipeline through the forest, the state forest, that they never had their permit renewed in the last 27 years. Yet the water's still flowing, guys. If I had my driver's license pulled, if I did not pay for my driver's license or my car insurance, my car would not be allowed to ride on the road. That's the way it works, guys. I pay my registration, and I'm allowed to ride on the road. You're getting a license for it. And then if you don't, you're immediately grabbed. If the police see you, they grab you. They find you. If your car is parked on a street, they find you. They grab you. So why is it that the Forest Service in California, in the middle of a horrendous drought, is looking to renew a permit that has been out of line for 27 years? Why have they not just turned off the pipe? Why is the pipe still flowing?
It's all about money. Whereas I think it should be about the money of fining Nestle for this to get the money instead of all the underhanded deals. It's probably Nestle's got pictures of, you know, the head of California's water board filleting a goat or something, and it's blackmail. There, I said it.
Yeah, there's something like that going on. Well, you know, folks, we're coming up to the end of Heart Attack. There's an article on Newsweek right now that I think you should all check out. It's called The Killer Pharmacy: Inside a Medical Mass Murder Case. Now, folks who listen to Heart Attack know we've been covering cases just like this for a long time. And now Newsweek's got this giant cover story about these drugs and these horrible pharmaceutical company. And, oh, man, it's awful. We were going to talk about it today, but we're out of time. We'll probably talk about this next week. But, hey, check it out. Newsweek.com, Killer Pharmacy: Inside a Medical Mass Murder Case by Kirk Eichenwald. Definitely check it out. I'm Hart Fisher. Thanks for listening to Heart Attack. Find me on Facebook.com. You
Okay, Kat, we can't avoid the South Carolina police shooting, can we, at this point? This is blown up too big.
Yeah, given that it's all over social media, you really can't avoid it.
For those who may not know, or for our foreign listeners, Michael T. Slager, 33-year-old police officer, claimed he feared for his life when a black man stole his stun gun and he had to shoot the black man 8 times in the back. This was ruled a justifiable shooting when Slager shot Walter L. Scott. Tell video showed up on the internet. It took a while, which is why this was originally a justified shooting. Everything seemed above board. Scott took his taser. He was running away. The officer feared for his life, right? Happens all the time. Until the video shows, Scott didn't have his taser, was running away when Slager calmly pulls out his gun, shoots Scott 8 times in the back, and then calmly calls in how Scott stole his taser. And then after he walks over to the body, waits 38 seconds looking at Scott bleeding on the ground, and then drops the taser next to him, planting the evidence, until another officer comes over. And then he calls in the officer involved shooting. Now, since this was originally just called a justified shooting, it makes you wonder, Kat, if this had not been on video, how many other justified police shootings do we now have to question?
It's every time something like this happens, it's such a fucking shame, because there are... Every day, cops do put their lives on the line, and every day, cops do legitimately get shot, are legitimately in danger. And every time a fucking idiot cop does something like this, it takes legitimacy away from the ones who are doing their jobs the way that they're supposed to. It's just a fucking shame, because now you do have to question, oh, well, this cop said this, but we all know how cops are, right?
And this actually has blown up way past this, because for once, Attorney General Eric Holder has held the North Charleston prosecutor. They're charging Slager with second-degree murder. He has had his badge stripped from him, and he is being charged with straight-up second-degree murder. When I say funny, I don't mean funny, ha-ha. A funny thing was Slager hired a high-priced attorney, and the high-priced attorney, you know, gave all the, he's not guilty until he's convicted and he holds his day in court. Then he saw the video. So 2 hours after making his statement about Slager has the best defense, he was dropped by his attorneys saying, I can't defend this man. So after seeing the video, even his own high-priced attorney is like, dude, you're fucking fried.
Wow. It's honestly as terrible as it is, because you never really, really wish bad things on people. It's sort of refreshing to see this kind of karmic justice. You're like, look, you're a shithead. You did a terrible thing, and now you're getting what you've got coming to you. And this isn't New York, where they're going to try and cover it up, and they're going to try and justify it away, and then they're going to try and blame the media for it. This is like, you fucked up, and now you're going to pay.
Well, because you can't. Have you seen the video?
Yeah, yeah. But there have been so many other cases lately where they have. Like, they've said, well, you know what? We know we have this video of a cop choking a guy to death, but it was still justified. You know, like, there's so many times lately where we just see, like, video after video of, here's a cop killing a guy and trying to justify it, and we all know it's fucked up, but the police are, they still have his back, and here's the time where we're like, no, that's messed up, and we're not going to do it.
Police might not have his back, but his back is still halved. The racists of America have sprung up in Slager's defense.
Oh, really?
They have set up a GoFundMe account to help his defense. They've set up a Twitter account to support him. The GoFundMe account, I said they set it up, doesn't mean it's still there. GoFundMe was like, oh no, you fucking do not. GoFundMe kicked it after only $10 had been donated. GoFundMe is like, no, this violates our terms and service. So they went and set up an Indiegogo for him, because apparently they're not letting this drop. This actually spills into something a little bit wider, though. All the people that are coming to Slager's defense, we don't know whether he really feared for his life. We don't know what happened before the video was turned on. It's like, well, considering that the video shows he lied about every single thing he claimed in the case, I don't think the video is going to show he was right about something before the video. What I found really disturbing is 3 Republican presidential candidates tweeted out the exact same thing. They tweeted out the link to the GoFundMe/Kickstarter and said, "Help support Officer Mike Slager. Murder is too harsh a conviction for one misstep." Which, by the way, of course, he hasn't been convicted yet. He hasn't gone to trial yet. So they're idiots there. But Mike Huckabee, Bobby Jindal, and Rick Perry all think Mike Slager is the victim of an uncaring society in this. Of course the Republicans had to weigh in, and of course you knew this was going to happen, didn't you, Kat?
Hey, if you were thinking about voting Republican but wanted to eliminate some people off your list of people to vote for, there's three people right there.
Rick Perry, Bobby Jindal, and Mike Huckabee.
There's three people who think that if you are a cop, you can murder somebody as long as that person is, you know, well, I don't want to play a race card too much, but like...
Well, Bobby Jindal isn't white, so I don't know if the race card would have played there.
Well, this is good, because this is like, hey, maybe it's not a race issue this time. It's just sort of a, if you don't support our cops, then you are un-American. like that's a thing or something.
But I like the way all of them not only tweeted a murder conviction is too harsh, which again, he's not convicted, so you guys are morons, but also for one misstep. Shooting a black man in the back and then planting evidence on him and lying about the whole thing, Kat, it's a misstep.
Yeah, I mean, I think murder is a bit harsh of a sentence to throw down to somebody who fucking just murdered a dude, don't you?
Second degree murder? I mean, there are, you should read, because like on GoFundMe and stuff like that, while it was still up there, you can leave a comment on GoFundMe. Oh my God. Of course, people that donated had to leave their comments. Officer Michael Slager deserves a competent defense no matter what the court of popular opinion says about his actions. Another one said, all he is doing is clearing the monkeys from the jungle. Kat, this is, racism's over.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we have a kind of dark guy in the presidential seat right now. Obviously, racism is dead, and there's no such thing as racism anymore. And if you think that there's racism still left in this country, you're the racist.
There's not just that, but, okay, so this was a case of a cop lying and trying to get away with something, right? How about the Virginia Beach Police Department macing and punching an autistic 17-year-old while they're arresting his mother? All of this caught on tape. Of course, they said they never maced him and they never punched him. And then on tape, them attempting to delete the evidence. But of course, their own stupidity bit them in the ass again. What happened was, Courtney Griffith, she'd been busted for pot in the past. So she was pulled over, and it was the same cops who busted her in the past. They were giving her a really hard time because she was fighting the marijuana charge in court. And he started screaming at the cops. She took her iPhone and recorded the entire incident and set it on the dashboard. This is important. When the autistic boy would not stop yelling at the cops, again, he's a diagnosed autistic child, they maced him and punched him. All the while, she's screaming, he's 17, leave him alone. Well, the cops claimed they never did any of this when a complaint was filed. They were laughing about this incident. Well, one of them noticed the iPhone on the dashboard, reached in, stopped the video, and deleted the video. And all of that, up to the deletion, is on tape, Kat. How do you think this was? How do you think this was found? How do you think the video is still there that we have it if they deleted it?
They didn't delete it.
Well, they deleted it. It went into the recycle bin. So all she did is went and go retrieved it from the recycle bin. All the while, the cops are going, didn't do it. Wasn't us. Does this just show that police seem to be... I mean, all of these... I can't even count how many times on this show we've talked about it, Kat. It's almost like you cannot believe a police officer nowadays. I mean, they're constantly caught lying, and if video is there, they're trying to delete the video. We talked about one a couple of months ago where they did delete the video, but it was saved to the cloud. And again, the cops were going, I never did any of that. Oh, okay, maybe I did. Is it getting to the point where the entire police system is so corrupt that you almost have to tear it down, fire every police officer, and hire newly trained recruits?
Well, that would be pretty extreme, but I think Charlie is always right when he says that there's got to be a better way of hiring officers, because obviously it's not getting done right. Obviously things are pretty messed up. And I really feel like there needs to be not like a fire everybody, because that would actually just be colossally expensive and the taxpayers would never approve it. but sort of like an audit. You've just got to get some uncorruptible human beings in there to just sort of go through and audit everything everywhere, which also would probably be really expensive, just to figure out where the problems are and eliminate them.
Well, I think part of it is the way we look at police culture in America. Because look at all the Law and Orders, look at every cop show, look at every cop movie that comes out. We, as the public, we want the cop to get the bad guy no matter what. Oh, you know the bad guys hide behind a technicality. We know the cops are going to hack into their computer or plant evidence on them, but they're getting the bad guy. So pop culture is telling us the cops should be able to do whatever it takes to get the bad guy, whereas reality is telling us they are, and we don't like it. Is there a difference between the way we look at cops, the way pop culture in a way trains us to look at officers, and then the way real culture actually shows us the scumbags that they can be? Is there a clash here?
We see things that are terrible on TV, and we thought, okay, well, it's TV. You know, you always have your in every cop show has a one cop who's just there to beat the shit out of a guy until he confesses, and we all know that it's not right, but it's just TV. And then I think real life sort of shows us something that's pretty much the same as what we expect on TV. But when on TV, it's entertaining because it's fake. You see it in real life and you're like, no, this shouldn't happen in real life. This kind of shit should only happen on TV. I think we kind of see what we have now trained ourselves to think of as being false, even though, you know, there's always a possibility that it could happen in real life. Every time we do see it happen, we're like, that's fucked up. That shouldn't happen. This isn't TV. That shouldn't happen. Like, we all love John McClane. John McClane is everybody's favorite cop. But if John McClane lived in real life, John McClane would be a freaking terrorist. Like, he would not be able to survive on an actual police department because he would be so freaking violent. He would be insane.
Dirty Harry Callahan is a great movie character. You would not want this man actually policing your neighborhood.
It's like the TV cops are fun to have on TV, but you just don't want that in real life. Because in real life, you want people to make you feel safe. And you don't feel safe watching these cops on TV. You feel entertained.
Isn't that kind of, training's not the right word, but indoctrinating, especially younger people as they're coming up through these ideals, that police are always right. And then you see it on TV that the cops will do anything to get the bad guy. Is there an indoctrination factor, or am I Hunter S. Thompsoning this too much?
You might be Hunter S. Thompsoning it a bit. There is sort of this expectation that we set that the police are above reproach, and the police are just these great, or at least we like to tell ourselves that the police should be these great warriors of justice and should be uncorruptible. And I think we forget that the police are people. The police should be this amazing force for good, but in the end, they're just a group made up of people, and any person is corruptible or susceptible to mistakes or can get caught up in the heat of the moment, or they can just be really, really terrible people. They can be good at masking it. They can be good at hiding it. They can be good at covering it up just so that they can keep having their job. People do it in all of their other jobs. They hide their flaws so that they can keep having a 9-to-5 job. There's no reason why this shouldn't be the same of the police. Even though we know they should be held to a higher standard, they're still people. And people make really, really terrible mistakes.
But like the way pop culture portrays the police is always the rogue cop is the good guy. He's the one you're supposed to side with. Whereas the guy that follows procedure, fills out all the paperwork and follows the rules, he's a square. He's not a good cop. He never catches the bad guy, does he?
Right. That's the guy who's always holding you back. And then, you know, we see something like a really aggressive interrogation or something like that, that we would see in the movies. And we're like, whoa, 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 you're going to hurt somebody unnecessarily. That's crazy.
Part of it, though, is that the cops think they're better than us. They call us, and this is the term even in their handbooks, non-police officers are civilians. That yeah. Right there places a separation between it's almost like a them and us. You're
well,
not
I
one
hate
of
to tell
us,
you this, but
so
the military calls everyone the same thing, too.
I know. I think it's a dangerous road to go down, though. You know, because cops think they are untouchable. Look what happened in New York after Eric Garner's death, how the cops all turned their back on de Blasio. they were being asked to actually do their jobs. It's like they think they are better than an average person.
Well, I'm just curious, what would you rather have the police call you in their handbooks?
A person? Not a civilian.
Cops are people too. So how do you distinguish between somebody who has police training and somebody who doesn't? I'm just curious what you would call people.
I would call them people.
Okay, but again, how do you distinguish between an officer or a police person and a not police person?
That's a police, that's not.
I just don't understand why you think that being called a civilian is a bad thing.
I think because it places a dividing line between them and us. That, you know, it's the same way that in the military, you have military personnel and then you have non-military personnel, which are civilians. And I think that is a dangerous placard to lay down.
Insane. I think that, and maybe I'm being a little naive here, but I think it's a dividing line between the police and the people they're supposed to be protecting. It's going, hey, we're the cops and these are civilians. And when you hear civilians, I hear, you know, like civilian lives, like as in we want to protect civilian lives. Like these are the people that the taxpayers are paying us to protect are the civilians, as opposed to, say, somebody in prison who would probably not really be considered a civilian.
I just think that that's a really, really, really negative stance to take for something that is essentially a necessary terminology.
Okay, like I said, I just don't agree with you. So I just think police need to stop thinking that they're better than us, that they're better than the average person. That having a badge sets you on a tier above us lowly serfs. That's the attitude I get from cops all the time. Even if I run into a cop in town who's off duty, they have this air of superiority. But then I also, you've seen what I look like. I wear ripped jeans. Right now I'm wearing a Punisher t-shirt. I've got a long mohawk and a big beard, and I wear a trench coat. So maybe...
I'm not saying you look like you could be the next Unabomber, but...
I look like a really bad night that Rob Zombie and Kevin Smith wish they could forget.
My experiences with the police have only been positive, but...
My experiences with police have... I've had positive experiences, but I've had some pretty damn negative ones too, like a police officer holding me on the ground while stepping on my neck and I could feel the gun barrel at the back of my head. Yes, I was committing a crime at the time, but I think that was a little excessive.
Never mind, I don't want to know.
This is when I was a teenager, so it's not on my permanent record in case anyone goes and looks this up. I was 16 at the time. That said, Kat, where can we find you advocating for the police?
Well, I won't say I'm advocating for the police, but they've helped me out, so I don't necessarily need them around me all the time. Anyway, you can find me not having a problem with my local police over on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And then you can find my other shows where I don't talk about police brutality. Well, actually, I do talk about police brutality sometimes. I don't talk about it as much over on Thespian Talk on rtdegomer.com. And then my main show is Nerd to the Third Power, which is over on channelawesome.com and This Week in Geek and on iTunes.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com. There's a redesign coming, but right now go and click some ads, buy some t-shirts, and you can contact this show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Hopefully Chucko is back this week, and hopefully he's not getting Taco Bell delivered to him. I don't know, just... seems like such a disgusting premise, but okay. Have a good night, and try not to be stupid. I know it's difficult, but try to be a cut above.
This next record is dedicated to some personal friends of mine, the LAPD. For every cop that has ever taken advantage of somebody, beat them down or hurt them because they got long hair, listen to the wrong kind of music, wrong color, whatever they thought was the reason to do it. For every one of those fucking police, I'd like to take a pig out here in this parking lot and shoot him in their motherfucking face.
get even.
Get even.
Is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.